Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
So some of you may have seen little Caleb, my son, running around here this morning. And it's been really interesting for the past, I would say, month or two, just seeing the leaps and bounds in his development. You know, he now says cheese, and not cheese as in I'm smiling. He says cheese because he likes cheese strings. And so he says cheese, and he goes to the fridge, and he points to the box because he wants a cheese string. And I'm looking at him, I'm going, my goodness, like, what is with this? Stop. You know, and he's climbing on things, and he's jumping, and he dances to music, and he sings music. Like, it's just baffling to me as I look at this now 17-month-old child of mine. And you know, what I remember is I remember holding him in my arms for the first time. Well, actually, what I remember before that is a lot of screaming. You know, there was, and this is applicable. I'm not just throwing my wife under the bus on this one, but there was a lot of screaming, you know, like, we go into the hospital, and I remember just the pain that Em had to go through, the groaning that was happening in that hospital room as she was trying to deliver this little baby boy. And I remember standing next to her as she crushed my fingers into nothing as she was yelling at the top of her lungs. And I was thinking, this hurts, but you know, I wish I could do something more than hold her hand. And it's not just because it hurt, but you know, I wish there was something more that I could do for her. But you know, as she sat there groaning, suddenly something happened. The baby, as Caleb made his way out and the doctors did their thing and the umbilical cord was cut and they made sure that all the air passages were clear, and that first cry was heard from that baby, and Caleb was laid in Embry's arms. All that suffering just seemed to start to melt away as that moment of joy took its place. She went from groaning in agony, from the depths of pain, and like that, she stepped into joy. And you know, I think all of us go through times, not like childbirth, you know, if you're a guy. Good stuff. But you know, not all of us go through these times. But all of us do go through things that are difficult. All of us have to push forward. And something that may have come to a shock for some of you who are Christians when you became a Christian is that it doesn't stop. You know, some of you were told that, oh, just give your life to Jesus and he's going to make everything great. And I'm sorry, you were lied to. He doesn't make life this easy little walk in the park. He doesn't make it so that you never suffer. I mean, Jesus is the one who said, pick up your cross and follow me. A cross was an ancient device of torture and death. He's like, hey, pick up the suffering, pick up the pain, and follow me to wherever I lead you into. And so whether you're a Christian or not, you may be experiencing sickness or illness or disease. Or maybe it's someone that's close to you is going through something. I mean, I think everyone in this room has probably got someone that they know that is going through cancer right now, some kind of treatment for cancer that's battling it or that has died from it. We fight with jobs, you know. We hold down a job and we think that we're fine, and next thing you know, they're downsizing or that entire industry is gone, or they just decide that, you know, this one's not for you. And so we're left out in the cold wondering, what do I do now? Or we're looking for jobs and time again, we just get rejected and things start to close in and the bills start to pile up. For some people, life is really just about figuring out where the next meal is coming from, where the next warm bed can be found, especially as winter comes. Life is full of difficult circumstances. But even though life is difficult, we are not left to face it alone. See, this is the difference. This is where Jesus makes a difference for us in the here and now. It's because we're not facing it alone. We're not grinding through life helpless and hopeless. See, today we're going to be looking at some words that the Apostle Paul wrote, and the Holy Spirit had spoken to him, and he was speaking into the lives of these Roman believers. And life wasn't that easy. Things were going wrong for the early church. I'm sure that some of them were looking at the faith that they had accepted, this faith that they were following. They're following Jesus, and they're going, life has gotten harder since I started doing this. Like, life has gotten harder. I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, they're throwing people to the lions. They're throwing us in prison. You know, I lost my job because they didn't want anything to do with those Christians. Maybe it would just be easier. Maybe life would be easier if I just picked back up with the Roman pagan gods. You know, would it be that big of a deal if I just started to worship Mars and Jupiter again? Would it be that big of a deal? And so Paul writes in Romans 8, and that's where we're going to be today, Romans 8, verse 18 to 27. He writes to these Christians to tell them and encourage them about the hope that is in the future, about what they can look forward to, about the fact that they can have hope and strength. So if you don't have a Bible with you today, we're going to have it on the screen behind me. Or if you'd like to take notes on a mobile device and you have one with you, you can go in your browser to ascc.life. And when you go there, you'll see a message notes card. If you tap on that, you'll have the Bible verses for today. You'll also have the ability to take your own notes and save them or email them to yourself so that you can keep track of it all. See the main points that I've got coming. So that's ascc.life. So we're going to read this together in just a moment, but while you go there, let me just pray for a moment, if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to come before you today, and that even in the midst of difficult circumstances, or for some of us, maybe circumstances that aren't that bad, that you're able to prepare us, that you're able to lead us and guide us, and that we can trust in you. God, ready our hearts to receive what you have to say to us today. Let us look deeply into the Bible to see for ourselves that what I'm saying is true. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something that is worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick up at verse 18 of chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Hang with me here. Paul writes in a difficult manner, but we can make it through. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Paul says, I consider all this suffering that's going on right now worth it because of what is ahead. There is a hope of future glory. And understand, friends, that when he talks about this hope, he's not saying hope in the way that we say, you know, well, I hope that happens, but who knows? No, he's saying that I've received a promise. and I'm hoping for it. My eye is set on it. There is hope in my heart, because when the suffering is gone, when this life is over, I'll be in glory with God. See, Jesus gives you hope for a better future. Jesus gives you hope for a better future. What you're in right now may not seem like it's filled with hope. It may seem like you can't make it through, like you're stuck in the muck, like you just can't even take one more step forward, like nothing is going your way, that everywhere that you turn, there's just pain, that there is failure, that there is nothing. But the fact is that Jesus gives you hope for the future. What a future it's going to be. So that's why I talk about that groaning turning into joy for Caleb's birth. And Paul talks about that here. He talks about the creation itself being set free from its bondage to corruption and obtaining the freedom of the glory of the children of God. It's been groaning together in pains of childbirth till now. And what he's saying is that, you know, the earth has been cursed because humankind, who were tasked with being God's representatives to the earth, we messed things up. We said, God, no, we want to be God. We want to be the great ones. We want to do what we want. So we disobeyed God. And a curse was laid upon the foundations of the earth. But one day, he says, and he's in the process of working through this now, one day, he's going to set things right again. And this time for good. I know that when we start talking about sin and the curse on the earth and all of this, people have questions, and I'd love for you to send me questions. You can send them to the church's email. You can send them in at ascc.life, whatever you want to do. If you've got questions, I'll do my best to answer them, and I can't go into that right now because we only have so much time, but the world is not as it's supposed to be, but one day it'll be set right. And he talks about us groaning as we await to be adopted as sons of God. And you might say, but wait a second, I thought that when we become Christians, when we choose to follow Jesus and give our lives to him, that we're adopted as sons and daughters of God, and you are right about that. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God. But the fact of the matter is that we're still here. We're still sinful people. We're still works in progress. And just like you can be a son or a daughter that isn't fully into those rights yet, you know, the adoption paperwork is signed and we're on the drive home with our dad. But we're not there yet. And so that anticipation is still within us, that excitement, that groaning, that longing that's within us. What's the future hold? When is this going to be complete? When am I going to be fully a child of the kingdom of God? And Jesus gives you hope for a better future of that full adoption with God. The redemption of our bodies. So you might think, well, this is great, Pastor Stephen. So basically what you're saying is we can do absolutely nothing right now, that Jesus gives us this great hope and we get to look forward to the future. And right now we just get to suffer and we get to trudge through life and do absolutely nothing on our own. And we're powerless to do anything about anything. So what's the point? Why don't we just all give up and wait until we go to heaven? And Paul addresses that. He says the Holy Spirit helps you pray powerfully in the midst of your weakness. I don't know about you, but I'm a weak person. And I'm not only talking about physically here. I'm talking about prayerfully. You know, some people have these expectations that pastors are just naturally really good at prayer. Whenever they say that, I'm like, oh my. Because I got a confession to make. I'm bad at prayer. You know, I'll sit down and I'll start to pray. And I'll be like, I don't know what to pray for. And so I'll be sitting there and trying to pray. And I'll be like, man, it's been, I've been here for 45 minutes, surely. Like, this has been some major spiritual warfare. And I look at the clock, it's been 30 seconds, you know. Like, my goodness, like, how do people do this? Or there'll just be this burden on me. I need to pray. And so I'll start to pray and it's like nothing comes. I just start praying the same old thing that I've always prayed. Listen, I've tried making the list. Do you know what happens when I make a list of things to pray for? I'm like, and that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Yes, I'm done. I've tried not making a list. I've tried everything. But then something interesting happened. We had a speaker at the camp that we were at, and I'm not going to pretend to say that what the speaker was telling us was all 100% accurate. I raised my eyebrow a lot during that particular series of messages, but there was one thing that God spoke to me during that time. He's like, listen, you're a Pentecostal. You speak in tongues, and yet you never speak in tongues. And don't worry, I'm not going to start speaking in tongues right now. Yeah, I'm not going to start speaking in a spiritual language or anything like that right now. But what he challenged me to do, and what I began to find, is that as I would come into prayer, I felt like it was just hitting a wall, like I just couldn't do it, I would begin to speak in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. And what I found is that allowing the Spirit to speak through me, I would suddenly, you know, maybe it would be 5 minutes, maybe it would be 10 minutes, but all of a sudden it would be like someone's name or a situation or something would come to mind, and I'd begin to pray for that. And then maybe after that, a number of things would come, and then I might hit a wall again. So I just begin to pray in tongues again, because what else am I going to do? I'm like, I want to pray. I think it's important that I pray, but I don't know what else to pray for. So I'd start to do it, and you know what would happen? I'd be sitting there, and I'd just be in that brick wall, and all of a sudden it was like that wall would totter over, or I'd make my way over it, and there'd be something else. I'd be like, this, I can pray for this. He helped me. Now, listen to me really carefully here. I am not saying that if you do not pray in tongues, that if you do not have that gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, that somehow, you know, you're a goner because the Holy Spirit's not going to pray on your behalf. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I believe that this is one way, that speaking in the Spirit is one way that the Holy Spirit can intercede on our behalf. I'm not saying it's the only way. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, praying in the Spirit builds up the one who's praying. And when I'm praying by myself, I think it's perfectly appropriate for me to get a little bit of building up from God so that I know what to pray for. But you see, this passage here, it's fairly contested. You know, theologians like Gordon Fee say, yes, the groanings, they're the gift of tongues. It's the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And then there's other people that are like, well, tongues is one of them, but it wouldn't be that. And then there's other people that are like, well, it says inexpressible groanings. And so it wouldn't be tongues because you can't express it. And so here's what I say. I say that the Holy Spirit helps you pray powerfully in the midst of your weakness. And so if the way that you find that he does that is by praying in the Spirit, then maybe that's one of the ways that he's helping you. But that's not the only way. There's other ways that he can help you. See, the Holy Spirit is within you, and as you're praying, he's going, God, I know that what he's praying right now is really dumb. But God, this is your heart. Will you just hear these words that he's speaking and also hear these words, Lord? Because he's genuine. His faith is genuine. He wants to pray according to your will. He just doesn't know it. And so here, God, you know and I know what it is he needs to be praying for. See, I believe that Paul's saying, like, we're weak in prayer. We don't know what God's will is in most situations. And so we pray about things that frankly are dumb. God, help me save enough money for a Ferrari because I want one. No, I'd like you to live, you know? So here's really what it comes down to. It doesn't matter how well you pray. It just matters that you do pray. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within you is speaking, is interceding on your behalf, whether you hear it or not, whether you speak in tongues or pray in tongues or not. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. So your words can be idiotic. But if it's done with a genuine heart, the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. So you see, even when we're in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, Jesus gives you hope for a better future. And the Holy Spirit helps you to pray powerfully in the midst of your weakness. We have hope and we have strength. Here at Abundant Springs, we believe that God has called us to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-empowered believers. And that when we live life that way, that we won't be able to help but impact our community for the kingdom of God. Sometimes the way the Spirit leads us is just as we pray our prayers and He prays on our behalf, that suddenly there's an impulse in our heart. But what I want you to know is no matter what strength, situations come your way, no matter what it is that's beating you down, that your prayers do matter, that there is hope. And listen, let me tell you this. Not only do you have, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living within your heart, but you have been empowered to carry out the mission that God has for you and for His church. There is hope and there is strength in Jesus Christ. For me, it's been a difficult season in my life the past couple of years, and I won't go into too many details, but essentially for me, it's been a season where I've been dealing with a season of betrayal by a close friend. And for me, I'm not someone that pulls in lots and lots of friends and is like, look at me with 100 people that I have coffee with every week or anything like that. I take a while to build friends, and once someone is a friend, they're a friend. And this friend betrayed my trust and did some things that weren't good. And so for me, this past couple of years, I have been wading through feelings of anxiety about situations around this, feelings of depression around this. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to feel sorry for me at all, but I'm just describing my experience with suffering that I am continuing to walk through. You know, there's days where it feels like I am in a pool, and I know that somewhere there is the shallow end, but right now I'm on the bottom of the deep end, and I'm just trying to take one foot after another on the bottom of that pool, gasping for breath because there's no air down there, with the water pushing against every movement that I have, just wondering when. When am I going to break the surface? When am I going to get to a place where it's easy again? And you know, it's only by God's grace, and it's only through prayer, and it's only through that hope of a glorious future, through the Spirit's strength carrying me on, that I've been able to keep going. Let me share this with you in closing. There was, towards the beginning of this, I was walking along the creek path, and it was winter time. It snowed, and the path was fairly packed down, and the wind that day was blowing. Like, I wasn't sure why exactly I had decided to pray. I just knew that I had to pray on the path, and of course, I'm walking directly into the wind, which is just dumb. But that's what I was doing, and the only thing that I could pray at that time as I was seeking the Lord's will on things is I was just praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. And I just continued to pray that again and again as the wind, I think the gusts were like 85 kilometers an hour that day, just biting cold wind. And I was probably out there for a good half hour just praying and wondering if I'm alive, you know. And I remember taking a little bend in the path, and there was this place, and there's lots of trees there, and there was one particular tree that had fallen down. It kind of created a place that looked like a nice bench. And I was like, oh, that would be nice, you know, sit down and just seek God. So I went to walk towards it, and suddenly, instead of the snow being packed down, the snow was over my boots. And, I'm not going to walk through this. That's not worth it. And so I turned away and I began to walk away, but I just felt a prompting within me that I needed to walk through it. So I walked through it. And as I got to that dropped tree, suddenly it was like in that place, the wind was still. And I took another step forward, and suddenly it was just maybe an inch or two deep, the snow there. And I sat on that tree, and I began to pray. I heard possibly the clearest that I've ever heard, not audibly, but just within my spirit, the voice of God saying, sometimes you have to walk against the wind and trudge through the cold, deep snow to get to what I have for you. And that's been what I've been holding on to through this season. That little tidbit of hope that even as things are difficult, that I'm going to come through the other side, because Jesus gives us hope of a better future. His Holy Spirit gives us strength to keep on going on. So whatever season that you're at, this is the point of my, whatever you're at, Jesus is at work. The Holy Spirit is with you when you follow Jesus Christ. And so you don't have to feel alone, and know that I understand this. I'm not speaking as some super holy minister who never gets it wrong, because I'm right here in the trenches of life with you. And just because my job title is pastor and I'm paid to write messages and read the Bible so that I can share with you guys what I've learned doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory. Because every one of us has things that come against us. Every one of us has to push forward. See, whatever your situation may be, you need to trust in God. And so, if you're not in one of these situations, I know it can be such a downer to be like, life's good. I don't know what you're talking about right now. Like, why did I come to church today? My goodness, these people are so just... I hope that you'll store this in your heart, because I guarantee you that life is going to throw something your way. This isn't to freak you out. This is just the cold, hard truth of the world we live in, that life is going to throw something your way. It may be something that you can deal with like that, and it may be something that leaves scars that take years to heal. But I hope that whether you're going through that situation now or later, that you will trust in Jesus. And if this is you right now here, here's what I want you to do. And even if it's not, I think that this is applicable to us all. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to pray hopefully, knowing that with the Spirit's help, you are praying powerfully. I want you to pray hopefully, knowing that with the Spirit's help, you are praying powerfully. Even when it feels like there's nothing there, your prayers, no matter how small, no matter how juvenile, are powerful. And I believe that's the reason why a child's prayer is often the most powerful prayer. Because that child is just praying their heart, and they're so genuine, and the Holy Spirit prays through them, and things happen. Will you bow your heads with me as we close today? Heavenly Father, I thank you that no matter what the situations that we're in, that you're with us and that you love us. So be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ASCC.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ASCC.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.